Hey, y'all, welcome to my podcast. This is Roxy, Roqzee. Today's a special podcast episode because I have my friend and fellow YouTuber, Mr. Tope, on the line. Hey, Topsy, what's up?
Hi, hi, good evening from Nigeria.
From Nigeria. I hate telling people where I'm calling from because it feels like I'm showing off. But yeah, since you
Yeah.
said Nigeria, well, everyone knows where I'm calling from.
No, I'm the one
How
showing
you
off. I'm
doing?
calling from Nigeria. Fine, fine, fine. I'm good.
What's been up with you? Why did you think this was going to be a good idea having a podcast together? I didn't think so. We're so different. Our voices are different. Our patterns are different. I'm like, so what made you think this will work out?
In the alliance, the ingenuity, right? Where
Right.
the diversity would make us have different crowds listen to us. Some people want to listen to you, some people want to listen to me. And I also feel that we've had so many discussions privately that we need to tell the world and, just share
Yeah.
knowledge and share experiences, basically.
Yeah. So that's what I found interesting, to be honest. When you mentioned it, I thought to myself, I'm always talking motivational stuff, talking about my point of view and everything. You talk about more practical things like financial management, things like that. You know what I mean? So what's interesting for you to talk about today? What do you want to talk about?
Just basically maybe the state of the nation
Well, let's do it.
at the country and how we have too many critics. I'm an unrepentant optimist, and
Okay.
this has made me seem like I support every government in power. But
Right.
over the last 4 years, I've seen a series of bad decisions from the government.
Yeah.
But I still remember. I still remain very, very, very positive. However, the last election, it gives me a lot of concern. Right, there's so much cost because I think that the level of bad governance we've ha had has
Yeah.
created so much hate, and now the hate has become very religious and very tribal.
I think the question I have for you in on that point is, where do you think, first of all, where is your optimism coming from? Because a lot of people would say to you, optimism comes from what you see and what you experience. So if everything is factually and really going bad, where does the optimism come from? Is that not false hope in some sense?
Yeah, we can say it's false hope, and we can also say that it's believing that with change, the new administration can make better decisions, right? That will take us in the right path. So right now we are down, 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 and I believe that the government in power might for me, right, will. In reality, might make decisions that would turn us and steer us back to positivity. And I say this because I believe in the person that is the current president of the country. And I know you don't. I know you hate him and everything about him. But I
I feel like
believe
hate is a very strong word. I don't think I hate him or anyone
okay,
else.
you
I
see,
just feel like so let me explain where people are in general, right? It just piggybacking off what you've said. The thing with life is that from all our experience over the past, I don't know, 16 years, 20 years of democracy, for instance, there have been very few presidents other than the first one that has impressed everyone. The only reason why Obasanjo himself impressed a lot of people was because we had nothing to compare him to. We had just come out of many, many years of military rule. Some of us were born into it and grew up in military rule, so we didn't know any different.
Exactly.
Now that subsequent presidents after him who came into power, we had something to compare them to. We had the Paris debt deal that Obasanjo was able to achieve for us. We had the functioning airports. We had things that we could point to say, this is what the man did, and this is now the standard you have to live up to. If you can't live up to that standard, we will determine you a failure. So that's where people came in from. And that's where the, to your point, criticism of subsequent governments came from. So what makes you then, which is where I started from by asking you where the optimism comes from, just looking at the subsequent governments after the first one and the terrible decisions that have led us to where we are, why should a normal Nigerian, other than your personality, which is, oh, I'm just an eternal optimist, why should a normal, reasonable person who's just normal, he's not being optimistic or pessimistic, why should he have any further hope 20 years down? Does it make sense?
We must have hope because we don't have any country to be in, right? We can relocate and do all of that, but we're still Nigerians, right? And if you don't see, if there's no hope, if there's no audacity of hope to believe that there is a future we can build together, right? Then there's no point living. And for me, I will go back to about the 2 years. Yes, you said that there was no base to compare. So you came from very negative, negative, negative. I won't want to bore you with mathematics, but if you look at the law of relativity, if you are a negative and you're coming and you're doing the basics, right, it looks like you're doing something nice. So case in point, the telecoms, right? If you are in the same country before 1999, would have had telecoms before 1999. But Obasanjo came with democracy and gave us telecoms and wowed us and the benefits of the internet. He wowed us and the economy blew, right? But there are other things that this same Obasanjo did not do. For instance, the infrastructure. Yeah, you said the airports were working. How many of them were working? How many of them had basic standard equipment to run, right? We had the Lagos and we had the Abujas. But again, that's what I won't bore you with that. The truth is this, Obasanjo did very well. But also didn't, I think they should have done some things, fundamental things like infrastructural development. Imagine if you had railway starting from 1999 and the railway had connected the whole of Nigeria after 2015. We probably wouldn't have had any reason to put the Buhari in power. Because at that time, we would have had railways to connect the whole country and businesses would boom. Even today, with what Buhari has spent on infrastructure, we say he has increased the debt portfolio, right? And I agree. But he has also invested a lot in infrastructure. So you see, the Lagos Ibadan Expressway, since that has been born, that has never been completed. Today it's completed.
And the airports
are working. Not working the way we want it, but at least they've been renovated, right?
Okay.
We have the railway, right? The railway is also working. At least we can connect Lagos to Ibadan now. Mm-hmm. This for security, we can connect Abuja to Kaduna, right? Mm-hmm. And there's now the case of insecurity, which is a bane, right? A major concern for us. And so all these things are there and they worry us. But I believe, right, that we've not even given this current government a chance. A lot of Nigerians are not giving them a chance because they are tired of the old way of old people in governance. And
I don't think people are just tired. That's why. First of all, the things that you have labeled as achievements, infrastructure investment, etc., at what cost? Everybody knows the news stories that went around about the type of train that they bought for your railway infrastructure you mentioned, for the roads that they have built. The inflated cost for those same expressways built even in advanced countries today is still beyond what you're using to build a road in Nigeria. So the question of the debt portfolio is not really the concern. We wouldn't mind borrowing to do the right thing if we're doing it at the right price. The fact that you're borrowing to do the right thing, but at what cost is the question? And why am I paying 10 times more than the next country to me is going to pay for the same thing, but I'm not borrowing to even do that as well? Until you put in place checks that gives the average Nigerian confidence that what you're borrowing is actually what we need and it's going to be used for what we actually need it for, then you're going to have criticism. Does it make sense? I think my argument is, the criticism is not coming from we're just tired of previous governments. This apathy to the current administration isn't just because we're tired of previous governments. It's because he, whoever is there now, was a part of the previous governments. He cannot remove himself from previous administrations. Okay. He's running on the same party, and everybody knows party philosophy trumps individual ideology. And he hasn't done anything radically different from what his predecessors have done. He hasn't shown us that he's not going to borrow money. He has already gone to the Senate to get a loan already to give people money, allegedly, you know, reports that, you know what I mean? You can't follow reports. But all of those questions around suddenly we are borrowing money when we are supposed to be getting out of it. You haven't shown us a path out of the debt we have budgeted the last administration. You haven't told us how you're going to do it differently. You haven't stifled corruption and where the leakages are coming from. You just want to borrow more money and throw it into the system that's already broken. Mm-hmm. That's where the criticism is coming from. It is to say, you haven't shown us why we should trust you. You haven't shown us anything. You're coming on the same party. You put the last person in power that got us where we are. So we blame you partly for that. And then you come here now and then you want us to suddenly say kumbaya and say, oh, but you're different and we love and trust you. It won't happen overnight. You can understand that.
Yes, and I totally agree that, and I'll speak to what you just said. And I said it to many people in the past, and I was saying it during the campaign. The fact that I cannot drive a bus very well, that I'm a bad driver, doesn't mean that my younger brother, who is also in the bus, cannot be a better driver, right? So the fact that Buhari has made us go through this APC government and has given us a bad taste of what APC can do at the top doesn't mean that Bola Ahmed Tinubu would not come and do better, because I think that as a driver, he's been in the past, we've seen proven records. Yes, I agree. I voted for Buhari in 2015. I did not vote for him in 2019 because I realized that this man cannot do the job, right? And if I see Bola Tinubu not do it in another 4 years, I would not vote for him in the next 4 years. However, I'm very positive that he will do it, and I will tell you why. So, for instance, you say if not showing any, the first thing he did, although we can argue on how well prepared the country was for it, was to remove subsidy and to unify the currency, one. The second thing he's doing is to look at how he can unbuckle the tax, the multiple tax burdens for SMEs. If you understand the average issue of the average businessman in Nigeria, you see that they are taxed multiple times. If you can solve that, it makes the ease of business better. It makes it, yeah, one. Number two is that he's unifying the revenue, right? We don't listen to these things because we don't like him. He's unifying the way of unifying of revenue, calling it a new name, where only one MDG, Parascata, will be collecting all the revenues for the country, and it will be easily tracked. Another thing is that they are trying to use the NIN to track tax. Do you know what that means? It means that you don't need a tax identification number anymore. It means that you use, and I know it looks like it's all of story and all of story, but you see, when we are doing all of this, it helps us to increase our revenue. And
no, but it's not, borrowing. Yeah, go on. But it's not all of, yeah.
On borrowing, we cannot reduce our borrowing if we need to work. The US currently has a borrowing per capita that's higher than Nigeria. The UK, the same thing. And borrowing in Yoruba lingua, they say, which means if you don't owe money, you're not ready to do business. So they're having your money, investing your money, right, and increasing your revenue bracket, and it also you've been getting money and utilizing it well, which is one of the things you said, and I agree 120% that you need to be able, you know, to utilize your money in a very judicial, very prudent way, you know, a very prudent way, you know. So I think. I agree that we have not, in the past, we've not even shown that we want to do anything nice. And I also agree that even with our Buy Nigeria agenda, we've not done well. Like, I feel quite sad. I don't understand why this current government will not buy from innocent motors all the cars they want to use for this federal government. But again, that's another discussion. But are we moving now in the right direction? Personally, I think we are.
Well, you know, that's where the problem with discussing the country is that everyone's going to disagree on the fundamentals, right? Your optimism is my pessimism. First of all, the single revenue collection, blah, blah, blah. We had Remita since PDP in 2015. We had Remita in 2013, where they tried to do the single blah, blah, blah accounts for every parastatal to put the money into. How did that work out? All of them found a way to still open multiple accounts and divert money. Nobody did anything about it. He hasn't addressed that. So just to say to us, we've now done blah, 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 it feels repetitive, Tokwe. Second of all, the issue about him being a better bus driver, you can only have and measure drivers where the bus is constant. So if the bus itself is a good bus, then you can say my junior brother is a better driver than the senior brother. If the bus is broken, nobody cares about the driver, Tokwe. We don't really care who's driving the bus. If you allow the senior brother to drive the bus to wreck it, there'll be no bus for you to drive. So to just come and tell us after 8 years of letting somebody else drive the bus to wreckage and tell us to not trust you because you know how to drive, your driving is irrelevant anymore because the bus has been destroyed. That's exactly the difference in perspective from a pessimist and from an optimist. And this is where the critics are coming from. To say he was part of the last government who put the bad driver who wrecked the bus. To then come and climb the wrecked bus and say, trust me, I'm a better driver. Driving what to where? That's the question of the critic. Does it make sense?
And it's a very, very question, very, very logical way to think, right? But I'll ask you, what would rather do?
No, Tokwe, don't throw it back at me, because that is one of the fallacies of arguments. Tell me what you think. The issue is there's a difference in perspective, and I'm pointing to you what the difference is. I'm not saying I have the answers, and I'm not saying anybody is right or wrong. I'm pointing to you why each side will never see eye to eye, because their own positions are valid in their minds as to how we see the country.
And I think the only way to work out of this will be that for the federal government to, you know, over the next 18 months, have low-hanging fruits that they use to appeal to the masses. Because right now, they've increased PMS, they've increased the price of dollar, although the dollar doesn't affect the masses, it's affecting upper middle class and the upper middle class. But what we've now then see is that we see we need to see government, for instance, increase minimum wage. We need to see state governments who then have, because the state government in itself, they've had more, their revenue has doubled because of the devaluation of the currency, right? Mm-hmm. So if you used to peg your $100 million at 430, now you peg it at 700 or 860, whatever it is, you've just doubled. So you have a double revenue. So what are you doing to make people in your state have less hunger? You know, so we need to start focusing on the state and the federal government with same passion, right? And if we do this, I strongly believe that.
Can I just ask you?
Yes.
My next question to you is simple. If you were in power today, would one of the first things you do in a country where you have just pulled the plug on fuel subsidy, which has a direct impact on everybody? So when you say it has middle, I get what you're saying, though. It has higher impact, not because it doesn't have an impact on the lower class. It just has a higher impact on middle and upper class, because the lower class relies on medicines. In case you, I'm sure you know that some of our grandmothers in the village are diabetic. They rely on insulin. We don't produce insulin in Nigeria. We still import all of the insulin that we use. My point is, it affects them. You haven't moved any subsidy into the medical sector or the drug sector to support that import. Does it make sense? How is the first few things you do buy billions of naira worth of cars and increase senators' salaries? Wait first before you answer. I agree that some of it's out of his control. We have systems that work. We have the, you know what I mean? There was this, there are these people who public service, blah, 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 who actually do remunerations for public servants, who made recommendation, blah, blah, blah. We know all of that. Would you allow this to happen now? Or would you say to yourself, you know, if people are going through this, this is not the time to do that. Just to show that we are in this together and get the support that I need to run this agenda.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you that we might have pressed pause on all of these things. But like you said, it's not something that is under the executive government. The executive legislation and judiciary all have different ways of executing what they need for themselves. But what I would have done differently, though, is what I would have done differently as president would have been to emotionally blackmail them, right? And I would have blackmailed them by me saying that the executive would pause for the next 1 year, not pursue of this and this and this and that. So at least I get some sympathy from the masses, and then I then wait for them to play their card, meaning the legislators. I believe that we shouldn't be spending that kind of money now, although we can see the value is immaterial, but it's not about the value, it's about the optics, right? And I
think it's about the optics, exactly.
Yeah, and I think the optics is very wrong. I agree with that the optics is very wrong. I'm not sure that they've gotten these cars. I think they said they plan to. I don't know that they've gotten it. And if there's anything I believe in this government, it's the government that listens, right? If you look at the palliative and 8,000, when people complain, they stopped it. I said they want to review it. I believe that this government would listen and might not. But again, I'm not going to speak to the Senate because there are a lot of people and they are a bunch of different, you know, managing 109 senators and over 300 out of reps. You know, it's a lot of people to manage who are powerful and who are elected. So they are not selected by anybody. They are elected. They feel they have some sense of power. What will I do as president, though, to answer your question? I think if there's anything I would have wanted the government to do a little bit more, that would be to respond as very fast to these labor issues, right? Increase minimum wage. Yeah. And one of the major reasons is not done because they didn't have a substantive minister. And if you don't have a minister, the constitution says that the review of minimum wage is not going to be done and approved by the Minister of Labor. You know, so that makes that we need the minister to recommend the recommendation to the president to sign. The president cannot in itself recommend and sign, right? So that I think that is the reason why we've had a delay. Again, this is me being optimistic. I don't work with the federal government.
I know. Obviously.
I think that, yeah.
Well, I wish you worked with the federal government. My life would have been different. But anyway, let's keep going.
Are you trying to say I was
still? Oh, well. No, I know you won't. But I'll be coming to Abuja more often, is the point I was making. My final point. I remember we said we are going to do this 20 minutes. So we have 1 minute left. Okay. Real quick, where do you think this tribalism thing came from in the way that it has hit us now?
I think it's always been there. I think it came from the 1960s when we had our first school, and it's been there, but it's not been very active. It crystallized with this election, right? And what crystallized, because people played that card, all parties, the Labour Party, the APC, the PDP, everybody. There were texts, we saw texts in Abuja where Atiku was saying, vote for your boy with Yabusa. We had allegedly where Peter Obi was speaking to the Bishop of Lagos, the religious world. We saw Lepifi in Lagos and the disgrace that happened in Lagos. And I'm an APT member, but you know, it is very disgraceful of what happened and how we harassed people and we used tribe and religion. So, yes, I think it's something that the truth of tribalism and religion it's something that we can't even use in 1 minute. But I would say that I think everybody, it
calls. No, take some more time. You can take some more time. But okay, I want to really hear your point of view. Yeah.
Okay, so on that, I will take us to the first school, right? You remember what happened in 1966 when they said these people were, and what they read, they were not born then. There was really massive corruption, and they wanted to stop it. Now, the Igbos were not the ones that went for the coup, right? But they somehow labeled it to be the Igbos because the person that came after the civilian rule was an Igbo man, Irosi. And then they strike back by killing not just Irosi, anybody linked with Irosi, and the Igbos in the north. Now, the Igbos did not feel very safe, and then they ran to their states, and then, long and short, there was a civil war. The Abuja Accord happened. It didn't work out. They snitched on each other because there was no trust. There was no trust because of the it could have happened earlier. And then civil war happened, and the civil war happened, and it was really, really bad. And, you know, we really, really upset a particular region in Nigeria. And personally, as a human being, I've said it, that we need to, as a country, apologize. But again, egos will not allow that to happen. If I'm opportunity to become for one day or president, I'll keep saying it. We need to at one point apologize that yes, there are reasons why we did what we did, but we are sorry, right? We are sorry for making you feel inhuman. That said, fast forward to this election. The election was going at a rate where there was no clear winner. And you even saw it in the election. There was no clear leader, right? Atiku then started playing the card of, you know, I'm a Muslim, the North. And it did, and it worked for him. Peter Obi started playing Christianity. And if you look at it, Peter Obi's victory, look at it. He won cosmopolitan Nigeria, right? Where everybody that had sense, that wanted a better Nigeria, wanted something different. And they thought Peter Obi as that guy that they could pick, right? That's one. Then everybody that was in core Christian, look at the Middle Belt. He won Plateau, he won Nasarawa, the places that are Christian. He lost Kwara, he lost Kogi, that were Muslims, right? He won Abuja, which was cosmopolitan. He won Lagos, that was cosmopolitan. I believe he won Rivers because I stay in Rivers, and I saw things happen in Port Harcourt, right? So he won, and he won all of the Southeast landslide, right? Tinubu too won his regions. So this election just showed us that we are very biased set of people, all of us, right? And what will show you that we don't have an ideology is, and funny enough, it comes from the Southeast, where Peter Obi is from. And this is not a dig to the Southeast, the Easterners. Look at PDP. PDP has historically been strongest in the Northwest and the Southeast. What happened in the Southeast this time around? They all voted for Peter Obi. Why? Because it's from their side. They can't tell me any other thing. They can't tell me they wanted change. If you tell me that Lagos, Abuja, and Port Harcourt wanted change, I will agree. Right? But everybody in the Southeast, I don't believe they wanted change. They wanted to vote for their own. Right? And that is the same thing that happened in the North. Atiku won in APC states. We had APC sitting governors. He won. Right? So what about Tinubu was, well, you see the tribunal. What made Tinubu a little bit lucky was that he was close second in the North because of the governor they had in the North. And he won the Southwest. Right? So what do I think about tribalism? What created it is the coup. Why are we now? We are in a very bad state because everything we say on Twitter, even at the office, everybody is very careful not to talk about tribalism because they're like, no. So a wise person will just, you know, play around it. But the truth is that we are in a very bad place and we need a unifier.
So the question I have for you is that if you say that the South East voted for Peter Obi strictly by tribalism, why do you think that the Southwest and the Yoruba people voted for Tinubu?
The Southwest did not vote for Tinubu as they voted. Tinubu lost Lagos. Tinubu lost Osun State.
Forget those ones. Forget. We're talking about Southwest. Southwest.
Tinubu lost Osun State. Osun State is called Southwest. Tinubu is from Osun. Right. He lost the Southwest. They lost the city. Yes. So while I agree that yes, we vote for our people because in Ekiti State, we voted hard for him. Right. We can also say that to some extent there was some diversity. The demographic is different, quite different. But Peter Obi had 98% of votes in the Southeast. That's not.
I think that his message. I hear you, and I hear you. I mean, we all have different points of view. I really want to just hear what your perspective was. I mean, tribalism, I think it has just reached dangerous levels at this point.
Bro,
I'm not going to hazard a guess as to why and how we got here, but I wanted to just hear what your point of view was before we wrap this up. Okay, so now that you've gotten this out of your system, let's just be clear that the next time we have our podcast, we're not talking about Nigeria anymore. We're going to talk about something else. Because your forte on your YouTube channel is usually practical financial management advice. I'm going to pick your brains next time on human resources and that sort of thing. Yeah. Agreed?
Thank you. Agreed.
Okay. Thank you all for listening. Let me know. As usual, follow us on Twitter and let us know what you think. Let's take conversation forward. See you later. Cheers, Topsy.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.